WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz in Washington. President Trump is said to be considering inviting Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to join the planned summit on peace in Ukraine in Alaska on Friday. He's now to meet with Russian leader Vladimir Putin. Zelensky today rejected the idea that his country would give up land to end the war. CBS's Willie James Inman says the meeting's been in the works for some time.
The Alaska summit comes after months of phone calls and meetings with Russian President Vladimir Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in an effort to push for a peace deal.
It also comes after weeks of President Trump expressing frustration with Putin and Russia's ongoing attacks on Ukraine.
Firefighters are making progress in the fight to control a wildfire in Los Angeles County. CBS's Andres Gutierrez is on the scene.
Weary fire crews put out hotspots, gaining the upper hand on the Canyon Fire, which exploded to more than 5,000 acres in less than 24 hours, forcing thousands to evacuate in L.A. and Ventura counties.
My son kept calling, telling me to get out of here.
Fire officials say the wildfire, which began Thursday, is 28% contained.
Jen Powell has become the first female to work as an umpire in a Major League Baseball regular season game. It happened today in Atlanta.
But we got out, we walked the field early as a crew, and then Gooch and I were looking at each other, and I said, this is it. Like, this is what we worked for.
Some small businesses say President Trump's tariffs are forcing them to raise prices.
Barry Barr is founder of the Seattle-based outdoor clothing company Cavu, which he says is seeing the impact of the trade war.
Increased prices on our cotton canvas, zippers, threads, and buckles.
As for the argument tariffs will increase manufacturing in the U.S., Barr says to expand production, he'd have to import sewing machines because none are made in the U.S.
Therefore, the machines would be hit with the higher tariffs, making it entirely too expensive to import.
He says he's had no choice but to increase his prices. Heather Bosch, CBS News, Seattle.
Police in Atlanta are considering the possibility that the man who fired at CDC headquarters yesterday may have believed he was harmed by the COVID vaccine. Here's CBS's Anna Schechter.
At least four CDC buildings were hit. The CDC put out a statement on X thanking law enforcement for their response.
The gunman died, but not before he shot and killed 33-year-old married DeKalb County Police Officer David Rose. Officer Rose was the father of two, and his wife is pregnant. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Brewers host the Mets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Mets tonight at American Family Field. Last night, the crew held on to win 3-2 thanks to an incredible throw from Blake Perkins in center field to catcher William Contreras to throw out the tying run. FanDuel Wisconsin.
Two outs in the ninth, and McNeil into center field, a base hit. Perkins throw to the plate. Throws a 97-mile-an-hour fastball to home plate to end the game.
The Brewers' Blake Perkins, after producing the final out.
Yeah, I was fired up, man. I mean, an exciting game, super competitive. Obviously, we have some history with these guys, and it feels incredible.
NFL, Packers host the Jets tonight in preseason football. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Flood watch is in effect for the potential of heavy rainfall. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few showers and storms around. Warm and muggy with lows in the upper 60s to 70. And still a chance of storms tomorrow. Rather muggy with highs in the low 80s. Less humidity Monday. It's 65 right now.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll talk to Tom Nelson about his new book, comparing the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald to how the economy has been turning against its workers.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Maggie is enjoying some time off, but she'll be back again on Monday. In the meantime, enjoy this special presentation of The Maggie Dawn Show.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is The Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
You see our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. Hope you are having a very, very cool, if possible, afternoon, because it is steamy out there. I can take the heat, but that humidity gets me every time. Enough about the weather, though. Just a little bit of breaking news. Today, Groundhog Day, Tony Evers' version, is now over. The governor announcing that he will not be seeking re-election in 2026. So, fields wide open. I have my personal favorite that I'd like to see run. You might hear about that tomorrow. Might have saved that for a little Ask Maggie, which you can catch tomorrow at 5:30 on this very fine program. But let's hear from the governor himself, Jacob Evers, in his own words.
I'm a science teacher at heart who ended up running for office and winning 5 straight statewide elections. So would I win if I ran a 6th time? Of course. No question about that. But whether I'd win or not has never been part of my calculus about running again. For 5 decades, my family has sacrificed to give me the gift of service. They're my world, and I owe to them to focus on doing all the things we enjoy and love doing together. It's why, Wisconsin, I'm announcing that I will not be running for a 3rd term. And so it's humbled to be your governor. This is the best job I ever had. And folks, we are not done yet. There is, as always, much work to do. In Wisconsin, I'll be working just as hard as I have for the last 6 years to keep doing the right thing and deliver for you. So let's get to work. Forward for you and for Wisconsin always. Thank you.
I'm getting all choked up. I mean, granted, I've had a day, but that is the heart of decency and public service. And so I think we all owe the governor and his family, as he said, like an incredible amount of thanks. I'm sorry, it has been a day. But it is going to be a great day for each and every one of you because of the subject matter this afternoon. I think it is possibly the most important topic right after how do Democrats have a debate about policy without eating themselves alive, which I've talked about a few times on this fine program. But today we're going to be talking about how to save democracy, small d, about system reforms so that we have the government that we deserve. Every single one of us, Democrats, Republicans, progressives, conservatives, independents, so that we can actually see our voices in action. One of the rubrics by which I often suggest that we judge the quality of a democracy is whether or not the things that we widely agree on, we actually see becoming law. And when we don't see that, that means we got a problem. That means they're listening to the billionaires and the 100 millionaires and not people that earn paychecks. If you got a boss, I think your voice should be heard in government. And right now, I don't think they're getting heard much at all. So today is devoted to democracy. And how do we do this better together, as I like to say. First, I've got Nick Ramos, my really, really good friend. He's basically going to be my guest co-host.
Co-pilot.
You
know, you're Maverick. I'm Goose. You know.
Oh, I like that. You know, who's the Iceman?
Wow.
Maybe the Iceman's TR?
Could be TR.
TR Edwards. He's staff counsel at Law Forward. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for being here. Again, we got Nick Ramos and TR kicking us off. Nick, of course, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. TR, my friend and colleague in the fight in the law and in courtrooms. Gentlemen, welcome. First and foremost, talking about redistricting and how legislative district lines get drawn and the imperative to have independent redistricting. Nick, set out the basics for people. What is redistricting? When does it happen? And how does it occur now in the state of Wisconsin?
So I'm sure everyone knows that every 10 years we have this thing called the census where, you know, our federal government is trying to understand just how populations migrate from cities and states to be able to allocate resources, you know, that match the numbers of the folks that are in those states and those cities. And a part of that process in a state like Wisconsin, the legislature, they, through the Constitution, have the power to draw maps based upon, you know, things within the Wisconsin Constitution. And it's based upon those populations. And they're supposed to be fair and balanced and all these things. But we know that over the last decade and change, we've had a group of lawmakers who have chosen to partisan gerrymander, which they have chosen to draw maps that are advantageous to one party exclusively, which means that no matter what, doesn't matter, Maggie, if you run a race in, you know, your district at home, you could be the best candidate since sliced bread. And it doesn't really matter because the game and the cards were already stacked against you before you even got to run from the starting line. And so, you know, folks have been enjoying seats that have been cushy and haven't had to really face any real accountability because they do not have any real competitive races that will ever happen with the maps that were previously drawn. And so now, you know, with the great work of Law Forward, and I'm sure TR will talk about that, you know, those guys were on a real crusade to try and deliver some maps through the courts, and which forced, you know, the legislature and the governor to sign a map while the Supreme Court was deliberating on some other maps that might not have been so advantageous to the Republicans that were in the law in the legislature. And
yeah,
now,
they were afraid. They're like, okay, we'll take this one because it might not suck so bad.
Which spanking hurts the least?
Yes.
And we'll take it. And then we'll see if we can go and win on these maps. And so right now we're in a really interesting era where we've seen these maps take effect. We've seen the legislature start to get more balance because Wisconsin, we're a 50-50 state. I don't care who tells you that we're not. We are. We always are going to be because we're that balanced. And, you know, now we need to get to really intentional because it's a short-term fix.
Yes.
Like right now we're enjoying these maps, but guess what? 2030 is the next census. And guess what? The legislature is still constitutionally the ones that get to draw maps. And until that changes, they can continue to put their thumb on the scale in either direction, Democrats or Republicans.
TR, it is a textbook conflict of interest for a legislator to pick their own voters.
Sure,
remind folks about the role that Law Forward has played and some of the contours of the legal arguments that undergird this fundamental idea that it should be one person, one vote. And by the way, I'm going to say this. $1, right?
Ideally.
Or billions of dollars should not translate into hundreds of billions of voices, right? One person, one vote. That is the constitutional imperative. Tell us a little bit about it, TR.
Sure. So backing up. So Law Forward, we are a strategic nonpartisan litigation firm based here right in Madison. Our primary focus is on good government. It isn't supporting one party or another or helping them move any particular agenda forward. We just want to make sure that the government that we have works for everybody that exists under it. So that being said, our founding principle in 2020 was really seeing what we could do in the fight against maps that were gerrymandered and rigged to prevent that type of democracy from coming into being. So where we are now and really in that stage of the fight, as Nick alluded to, is really pushing back on what happened a little bit over a decade, well, a decade and a half ago now.
Yeah.
So in 2009, 2010, there came this big focus around the country on this project called Operation Red Map. And what happened in Operation Red Map was there was influence, support directed into state legislative races to put in position certain people who would be willing for the next decade of our country's history. And this happened all across the country, Wisconsin being one of those states where it happened, you know, most egregiously. But there were efforts in place to see what they could do to shift how our democracy worked. And as you alluded to, Maggie, focused on creating a system by which the politicians got to select their constituents and by virtue of that, control their to be able to control the legislature in Wisconsin and many states going forward. And that had the effect of allowing them to then create maps under that process that Nick described earlier. So what we've been doing the last couple of years, in particular since 2022, is trying to see what we can do to push back against that. 2022, we were a participant in the Johnson litigation, which were around the state legislative maps as well as the congressional maps. It resulted in, an extremely partisan map in the state legislature, and unfortunately one that continued to entrench the makeup that we had at the time at the congressional level as well. So in Clark, which is the 2023 case, we decided to go after directly what happened around the state legislative maps. Now, we pushed for a challenge around partisan gerrymandering because there was really good evidence that proved and showed that came about in cases that existed before this, that there were efforts made by Republican legislators at the time to take control of our state legislature. And we believed, as you alluded to, Maggie, that that was a violation of people's one person, one vote. In other words, if I am in a certain district, that my vote counts less than somebody who's in another district because of decisions made by people who are supposed to be serving me. We think that's a violation of good government, so we attacked that at the state level. As you mentioned, we had some success there. I am not going to go so far as to say that they were scared of what may have happened if the court had made, you know, had gotten an opportunity to develop a map. But what we do know is that it inspired, the litigation inspired them to take action and create maps that were more fair. That were,
I'll say it, they were scared.
I was about to say, TR, you know, if you don't want to say it, we'll
Nick
say
and
it.
Nick and I'll say it. We'll go there. TR will be the adult in the room.
Yeah, for
Nick,
real.
Nick and I will just throw all the shade and lob grenades. Okay. So, as I always do, folks, if you're just joining us, I've got TR Edwards, one of the lawyers with Law Forward. I've got Nick Ramos with me. He's the executive director of Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. Today is a study. It is a deep dive into how do we save our democracy for everybody. And I mean this, you're listening to me out there, you voted for Donald Trump, and you're thinking, I hate you, Maggie Dawn. You're this crazy lefty. What? No, I'm trying to save democracy for you. Nick is trying to save democracy for you. TR and Law Forward, we're trying to save democracy for everybody. And frankly, getting the rich people to go the hell, I have heard enough from rich folks. I just want to hear from regular people, and I want their voices to be reflected in our elected representatives. But gentlemen, you know that I always, always, always bring the receipts. So I have some of the data from the assembly that goes back a few years. Now we're going to have to take care of a little bit of business, but when we come back on the other side, I'm going to show everybody those receipts. Yep, right here on the radio, it's going to be show and tell. I'm going to prove to you that Republicans were cheating, and if one party can cheat today, another party can cheat tomorrow. Amen. And that's why We need fair maps and independent redistricting committees. We continue this great discussion with Nick Ramos and T.R. Edwards. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
It's back. Because of the tremendous response last year, the studios of WFHR and WIRI will be having an open house on Wednesday, August 20th from 12 to 6 p.m. Join the crew for food trucks, games, and a staff dessert contest. Kids can try their hand at being a radio announcer. Some will even be played on the air. Local nonprofits will be on hand, along with special live broadcasts on both stations. Join us right here, 1690 2nd Avenue South, for our open house on August 20th from 12 to 6.
This one goes out to the elder millennials. We're not as flashy as those other millennials and not as grungy as Gen X, but our music deserves another listen. Burn Before Listening features hits, no, we can't read a poker face. Deep cuts, and some authentic cringe. This is how you remind. From 2000 to 2009, Burn Before Listening on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, Sundays at 9 p.m.
You want to feel important.
You want to be part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things.
You want to feel like you belong.
We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it.
We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers.
We are normal people just like you. But our part-time service in the Army National Guard means we get to be more.
When our communities are in need, we get the chance to stand up and do something about it.
We get to serve in our own region and help the people we call neighbors.
From the lake shores of Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
The fertile fields of Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa to the wide open plains of North and South Dakota.
We are here for our hometowns.
And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Maggie is enjoying some time off, but it's your chance to win with Free Ticket Friday. Using the Civic Media app, text us the word HEAT for a chance to see the Brewers play Pittsburgh Wednesday, August 13th. That word again, HEAT, H-E-A-T. This special presentation of the Maggie Dawn Show continues now.
Gotta wait for the drop when it's Paul Simon. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. We are celebrating democracy and talking about how to reform democracy so that everyday Wisconsinites, you and me and your entire family, we actually feel like the people that we elect are working for us and not a billionaire overlord, not special interest, not big oil, not big pharma. I could go on and on. Oh, and also not just working for their own interests. Oh,
what a novel concept that is, Maggie.
Mm-hmm. We're going to get into some of these reforms, but as I promised, I got to drop the receipts about how truly rigged Wisconsin's legislative maps were. And I'm going to just say this, is it only a bedrock principle in the United States that we have one person and one vote? We also are supposed to believe in the idea of majority vote. These things run together, of course. And one of the most pernicious and frankly, completely anti-democratic impacts of these stupidly gerrymandered maps, and we still got to fix the congressional ones too, is that it makes people disengage. Because people feel like, well, it doesn't matter because my vote has been gerrymandered into a nullity, into a zero, right? My voice doesn't count. So people disengage more and more and more. And what I'm going to say to you is gerrymandering means minority rule. It is anti-democratic in that way. And again, if your party does it today, the other party, the other guys can do it, you know, tomorrow, and it's not good for anybody. So the receipts, and then I'm going to ask the gentleman about what independent redistricting committees will look like and how do we make that a reality in Wisconsin. But here are the receipts. In 2008, Democrats, I'm talking assembly here, won 56% of the vote. They got 53% of the seats. So I'm going to just go, I don't like it, but it's least in the margins, right? Okay, I'm going to call rounding error. Yeah. Okay.
You're rounding up a lot, but yeah.
Yes. In 2010, so this is the census year, Democrats, and that's the midterms, folks, mm-hmm. Okay? Democrats got 42% of the votes cast in all assembly races across the state, and they only got 39% of the seats. Now, if you consider this, and we can see examples of this in our own state's legislature in this last biennial budget debate, we can see it in the House of Representatives and the Senate, where you've got the vice president casting the deciding vote, and you see these razor-thin margins. When you are in the minority, how much you're in the minority in a legislature deeply matters, right? Because then you only need a couple of defectors, and you have a seat at the table. Oh, yeah, that's what just happened in the biennial budget. Okay, so 2010, 42% of the votes, 39% of the seats. That's messed, okay? Just going to say it. And here's the big one. In 2012, Democrats won 53% of all votes cast in all assembly races that year, and they got 39% of the seats. And if you are a person of good faith, even if you're a Republican, you would say, if you're telling the truth with your hand on a Bible, that's messed up.
Not fair, I'll tell you that.
Not supposed to be that way. So how are we going to make sure that that nobody gets cheated out of their vote, that we don't have minority rule? Nick, how are we going to make sure that doesn't happen?
Well, I mean, we've talked about independent redistricting, and like, let's get more intentional about what in the hell that means. So when thinking about it, right now, as I described before the break, the lawmakers get to ultimately draw the lines, make the choices, all that stuff. But think about it like this. What if we had a commission that was of civilians that were put through a process where it was clear that they were not going to be chiming in on partisan grounds, but rather constitutional grounds, and drawing maps based purely on the populations and how they're supposed to be drawn? Like, we've seen states like Michigan and others be able to actually effectively do this, because right now, the process, if you keep letting the lawmakers, and you describe this perfectly, the pendulum in politics swings in either direction. And right now, you know, it swung in the Republicans' direction. The Democrats could have gerrymandered the Republicans into oblivion and chose not to. And so now we can't have this tit-for-tat type political amphitheater. And we're right now, through the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, which is my organization, and the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition, we're right now taking the time to travel the state and develop a Wisconsin model, a model that is actually by the people, for the people. And whether or not the lawmakers want to actually take this up and take it seriously, I think the Republicans know that if things continue to be this way, then guess what? That pendulum is about to swing hard against them in a way that they may not get to see leadership or the type of majorities that they've enjoyed for a long time. And the Democrats are thinking about, like, all these other things, too. And it's like, we need to make sure it's a fair process.
For everybody.
For everyone. I don't care how you vote, but we deserve to all be represented equally, and our vote should matter at the end of the day.
All votes should matter. And TR, let me ask you this. We got just over a minute. How do we make this happen in Wisconsin? How do we get to independent redistricting committees?
Sure. So there's two ways. One, we probably will need some type of legislative action. But short of that, there's actions like the one we just filed in state court at Dane County Circuit Court just a couple of weeks ago. So as you mentioned, there was also the congressional maps that were gerrymandered in their own way, but they were actually gerrymandered in a slightly different way. They were made to be anti-competitive with large disparities in what the actual election results would be, which led to a less responsive government. So legislative action on top of litigation can hopefully create that thin, narrow path that we can have to have the type of government and responsive government that we're looking for.
That we deserve. TR, you're welcome to stick around. We got two experts on this from the Campaign Legal Center out of Washington, D.C., their senior legal counsel and their vice president and general counsel. We're going to talk a little ethics and corruption and fixing this democracy for everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
CBS News Brief, Ukraine's president could be part of Friday's planned summit in Alaska between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. Here's CBS's Willie James Inman.
Two sources tell CBS News the president is open to a trilateral meeting, including Presidents Zelensky and Putin. But at the moment, the plan is for a meeting between Trump and the Russian president at Putin's request.
The Canyon Fire in Southern California is affecting air quality, says CBS News Philadelphia meteorologist Andrew Kozak.
Smoke in the air, and we're not going to see a lot of this really change over the course of the next few days. Very dry ground, winds anywhere between 15 and 20 miles per hour.
Jen Powell made history as the first woman to umpire in a regular season Major League Baseball game. She said it was a long time coming.
Give it a try, and then just get into it and have some, like, stick-to-it-ness, you know, some grit to see it through. It's a long road.
And she has made history. CBS News Brief, I'm Cooper Lawrence.
The Brewers host the Mets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. It's the Brewers and the Mets tonight at American Family Field. Last night, the crew held on to win 3-2 thanks to an incredible throw from Blake Perkins in center field to catcher William Contreras to throw out the tying run. FanDuel Wisconsin.
Two outs in the ninth, and McNeil into center field, a base hit. Perkins throw to the plate. Throws a 97-mile-an-hour fastball to home plate to end the game.
The Brewers' Blake Perkins, after producing the final out.
Yeah, I was fired up, man. I mean, an exciting game, super competitive. Obviously, we have some history with these guys, and it feels incredible.
NFL, Packers host the Jets tonight in preseason football. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Eddie Murphy has pretty much been an open book for most of his incredibly impressive career. He was a highly successful comedian, one of the most popular SNL actors ever, and has had a lengthy movie career packed with several blockbusters like Beverly Hills Cop and Trading Places. That did not stop him from pointing out some of the blemishes on his resume in a recent interview with Complex 360. Murphy had no problem discussing some of his clunkers, which included maybe what Murphy considers to be his biggest bomb, The Adventures of Pluto Nash. The sci-fi comedy came out in 2002 and is also one of the biggest flops of all time after bombing with critics and only making $7 million against a $100 million budget. 1998's Holy Man is also on his list and lost big bucks, but when asked about his critically panned comedy Norbit, where Murphy played several different characters, Murphy held his ground and said he loved the movie. More honesty like this, please. Love Eddie Murphy. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Flood watch is in effect for the potential of heavy rainfall. Mostly cloudy tonight, a few showers and storms around. Warm and muggy with lows in the upper 60s to 70. And still a chance of storms tomorrow. Rather muggy with highs in the low 80s. Less humidity Monday. It's 67 right now.
Smokey the Bear.
Smokey. Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Hear that? That's the sound of your life. Perfectly imperfect. Beating in rhythm to the world you've created. But every time you drive after drinking, the music gets drowned out. Your life sounds pretty great. Don't let a buzz ruin it. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Don't drive buzzed. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, if you feel like you missed out on the weekend news, no worries. Civic Media's Charlie Pittman, news director, will join us to keep us updated. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Maggie is enjoying some time off, but it's your chance to win with Free Ticket Friday. Using the Civic Media app, text us the word HEAT for a chance to see the Brewers play Pittsburgh Wednesday, August 13th. That word again, HEAT, H-E-A-T. This special presentation of the Maggie Dawn Show continues now.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Today is a day that is about democracy. Small d. And don't go, oh, they're talking about this highfalutin. No. We're going to talk about real reforms to make sure that our democracy, our local governments, to our state governments, and certainly at the federal level, actually are working for you. And yes, you, I'm talking to you Republicans as well. It should work for everybody. And that means that our voices actually have to matter to elected officials. We're going to talk about corruption as well. We got two new special guests joining us. I'm going to bring them on in just a second. But my friend T.R. Edwards of Law Forward, you were trying to make a complete thought before we had to rush to break. So, sir, I know you got to go very shortly, but I'll give you the floor. I want you to get your entire thought out there.
Okay, sure. So at baseline, in a 50-50 state, it really doesn't make sense, frankly, that 75% of our seats in the House of Representatives are controlled by one party. But getting beyond that, right, there was an entrenchment that happened in 2011. So going back a bit, there was an entrenchment that happened back then that we believe represents an anti-competitive gerrymander. So even beyond the partisan aspect of it, which is egregious in its own way, the idea of creating a system where not only are the seats partisan gerrymandered, but even within the districts themselves, there's almost no ability for someone from the other party to have any say and who actually gets elected. That leads to greater polarization. It leads to, as Maggie said earlier, people who are less engaged and active in our democracy. Because again, why would I participate? Particularly if I have an idea that's outside of the mainstream, why would I participate in a political sphere that doesn't actually embrace me? So we also found through our research that the median, so this is half or more than this, over 30% difference in the actual election. So it, whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, there's a 30% margin that you win by in our state elections, in our congressional elections since 2011. So that gives you an idea of kind of how you can lead to this fracture and fissure that leads to people being less engaged. So with that, we filed a suit in the Dane County Circuit Court called Wisconsin Business Leaders for Democracy versus WEC, where we're challenging the makeup of our maps as an anti-competitive gerrymander. So while we do believe there may be aspects of a partisan gerrymander as well, something distinct happened, especially compared to the process that our state legislative maps took, where there was a specific and intentional effort to actually create less competition and make sure that the incumbents were protected in that most recent election. And then in 2022, under the lease change framework, when new maps were adopted, even though they were governor's maps, because they were under that lease change, which is now gone bye-bye, because they were under that lease change, they carried forward a lot of that intent from 2011. And now we're
at anti-competitiveness. And this is, listen, I threw a little bit of shade last week at a state elected official in Wisconsin, because my question was, hey, you run in a royal blue district every year, or excuse me, every, I forget what the what's the Senate them. Cycle?
It's four for the Senate.
You run in a royal blue district. Don't come out here and give me the like progressive talking points and go, all this is doable. You have no downside risk. That is absurd. TR, I know you got to go. My friend, say hello to your beautiful wife for me. You take care. I will see you soon. Thank you for fighting for democracy. Folks, if you're just joining us, today is how we are going to save our democracy. I got Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign with me, and we are very pleased to bring on Cedric Payne, the vice president of the Campaign Legal Center, and Elizabeth Schimek, the senior legal counsel, also with the Campaign Legal Center. Welcome to you both. I appreciate you being here. Thank you for your patience. I'm going to just jump right on in, Cedric. The Supreme Court has told us that money equals speech, which every regular American that earns a paycheck, right, and doesn't have a trust fund knows is garbage. How do we fix that problem?
You're right to start right there, because that's one of the biggest problems we have. If everyone thinks that they can contribute to an election the same way they can talk about it, then you think there's an unlimited amount of money that you can give to the system. But we are seeing that that concept just does not work. And Beth works on this as the expert who deals with this most often. So I turn it over to her to talk about this big problem that we're having.
Yeah, thank you so much. And it's truly so good to be here, Maggie and Nick. As we've already mentioned a little bit, Citizens United, I think a lot of people are familiar with, really opened that floodgate to unlimited corporate spending in our elections, led to the creation of super PACs, where, you know, here in Wisconsin, I live and work out of Sun Prairie, so I get all the same ads that you guys do every election season. When Citizens United kind of opened that floodgate to unlimited corporate money, unlimited big spending, it created a lot of problems, particularly around transparency, where we have all of these dark money, secret spending outfits, these wealthy special interests that are really trying to influence people's votes without actually disclosing where their money comes from or what their interests are. And there are a lot of really interesting solutions that different states are experimenting with. Certainly happy to get into that if you guys have questions. But it has really become the theme of elections in the U.S. and in the states individually, where I think the Brennan Center did some research and saw that last cycle we reached a record high of $1.9 billion spent just on federal elections when it comes to that independent spending. That's not even looking at state by state.
Imagine all the badger care that could buy. You know what I'm saying?
Or
little
Costco
emergency,
hot dog.
Yeah, little emergency food assistance. I'm sorry, Beth, I interrupted you. Please continue.
No, it's true. You know, when you look at the amount of spending that's happening, I think a lot of people look at that and think, what else could we be doing with that money? And really, who is served by all of this spending that's happening? You know, who really benefits from our airwaves just being flooded with these billions of dollars of ads every 2 to 4 years? It's incessant. But that's where, you know, a lot of states are looking at different kinds of reforms that help to, you know, make sure voters have their right to know who's spending to influence them. That's actually a different part of Citizens United, was the court saying in an 8-1 part of the decisions, that's 8 justices agreed, a pretty rare thing these days. Even if corporate interests have a right to speak, have the right to spend as much as they want, voters also have a First Amendment right to know who is spending. People, you know, dark money doesn't have to be dark. And that's where states like Arizona are really taking the lead. Prop 211, which passed in 2022,
yes.
That's the Voters' Right to Know Act, is the actual official title. They looked at the system where, you know, in most states, when you have these big money groups spending, you might see, you know, paid for by Americans for America. And then when they file their report.
I'm sorry, it's like the what of the what? Like, we're good people, Inc. Whatever. Wow. You have no idea.
Yeah,
it's
these names that mean nothing to the average person. And you can go and look at their reports and they might say, you know, here are our immediate donors. It gets Corporation C, Pass-Through, LLC B, and a couple individuals. But that doesn't give us a lot of information about where that money's coming from, particularly when we know that sophisticated, wealthy special interests are using different shell games to hide that. So what Arizona did is they passed this innovative new law, the Voters' Right to Know Act. 72% of Arizonans in purple Arizona passed that law, which I think is really speaks to the interest people have in daylight in our campaign finance system. So anyway, Arizona passed this. And what it does is it doesn't just look at the immediate donors. It looks at the chain of donations. So say if I, wealthy special
That's
interest,
sexy.
Beth Schimek, public interest lawyer,
yeah.
You know, had $1 million and I don't like armadillos in Arizona. I might, you know, seed my funding through this group and that group, a little bit here, a little bit there, with the wink, wink, nudge, nudge that I want it all to end up in Arizona to spend on the Exterminate Armadillos Act. That wouldn't have been known before, but with Prop 211, it looks at these big sources of election spending, and it says, you know, if you're going to spend this big money in our state, you have to reveal not just the immediate donor, but look at all the people that these big amounts of money pass through and aggregate it all the way to the back and file a report so people can know that this wasn't funded by Arizonans. This wasn't, you know, based on our interests in, you know, the state of Arizona. It was based on Beth Shemick in Wisconsin, who just really hates armadillos.
Well, we've got the Elon money and the loop and the loophole in Wisconsin law, which was done under Governor Walker and the GOP-controlled legislature, where unlimited money can be given to the parties within the state.
Yep.
Which, again, just another loophole. So you got dark money, and then you just dump it all into the parties, and they spend it. Nick, I know you had a question for
us. Oh, yeah. And Beth, you know, I want to, again, I mean, we get the opportunity to speak to an expert like you, so I'm very grateful. And one of the things I'm thinking about is we're coming off the heels of this record, again, record spending Supreme Court race where it was over $100 million. And we're talking about the solutions, but why are we here in this situation right now? I mean, like, I think Maggie was starting to allude to some of the, you know, loopholes and things, but like, I want to just give folks out there that might not be so in tuned, you know, a little bit of the landscape as to why it's the Wild West when it comes to campaign finance. And then, you know, when we get time talking about what are some real solutions that could be applied to Wisconsin to try and fix this problem.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll start with kind of why we're here when it comes to our Supreme Court races. So I think a lot of people are already aware, but maybe in the current election cycle, it doesn't feel that way. Wisconsin's judicial races are nonpartisan races. They're not supposed to be about party. They're supposed to be about the principles of people who we are electing to interpret our laws, to hand down justice in our state.
Because judges have to be impartial.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that becomes a question when, you know, we see Citizens United made it possible for people to spend all this money independently. What does that mean in the context of our elections? I think when we see all this big money coming in, when we see political parties picking favorites, it raises a lot of questions for people in Wisconsin about, you know, can my judge, my justice, really provide unbiased justice when someone who might have a case come before them was able to spend a bunch of money to support their campaign, and that's known. So Wisconsin actually did at one point have one of my favorite solutions when we look at this kind of issue in judicial races. In 2009, we actually had a public campaign financing program for our judges. Now that was repealed in 2011, but the way public campaign financing works is candidates can opt in and they receive government money. There are a lot of different models, but for judges, typically it's just a lump sum of government money based on a certain amount of support.
It's so important.
I can come back
and
to
that,
this.
Yeah, and that model has been used successfully in many other countries.
Yes.
And also, and how about this states. One? This is another good one. Limit the window in which the money can be spent.
Wow.
If there's any of it, right? Wow. Like, less campaigning? I think we'd all sign up for that. When we come back, we're going to talk corruption with Cedric Payne. More about reforms with Elizabeth Shemick, both of the Campaign Legal Center, and of course, my friend Nick Ramos. Keep it locked. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
School sports are played by humans, coached by humans, and officiated by humans. So the next time you're sitting in the stands at a school athletic event, please remember this and maintain your humanity, especially when it comes to judging and critiquing athletes, coaches, and officials. Please show your fellow humans some respect. They'll appreciate your empathy.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi, I'm Ashley, and I want to talk to you about your business. Are you a business owner who lies awake at night worried about your business uncertainties? Do you know who your target audience is or how to reach them? Don't waste another night's sleep. Call me at 715-496-0710 so I can show you the tools and information you need. We offer radio, digital, and streaming services that will help you stand out. With my education and experience, I'll help you create a solid plan tailored for your business. Because cookie cutters are for the holidays, not for business needs. Call today and let those uncertainties melt away. 715-496-0710.
At WFHR and WIRI, our advertisers are part of our family, so come join the family by calling Ashley today at 715-496-0710.
You know that tune. You're a star. You know stuff. Why not win stuff? Maybe it's stuff about TV or movies, but still, you shine at useless information, and WFHR and Culver's want to reward you.
Welcome back.
Join the morning show Fridays for a chance to win one value basket and a kid's meal. Be our next superstar with Culver's Star of the Day every Friday at 97.5 FM WFHR.
You may have heard of the 4% rule when it comes to retirement. After you retire, you withdraw 4% of your retirement savings each year. The truth is, the 4% rule should be viewed as a guide, not as a strict rule. For example, the rule is based on retiring at age 65. If you retire earlier, you may want a lower withdrawal rate. Your lifestyle also matters. Are you planning to travel the world or spend more time at home? Consider inflation as well. A well-built strategy usually includes small annual increases in withdrawals. But you don't need to take a raise just because the calendar says so. So, stay flexible and revisit your plan of withdrawals regularly. That will give you the best shot at a secure, fulfilling retirement.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Maggie is enjoying some time off, but it's your chance to win with Free Ticket Friday. Using the Civic Media app, text us the word HEAT for a chance to see the Brewers play Pittsburgh Wednesday, August 13th. That word again, HEAT, H-E-A-T. This special presentation of the Maggie Dawn Show continues now.
It is Thursday, and we're busy saving democracy right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am your host, Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Got a great co-host with me this afternoon. His name is Nick Ramos. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. We are privileged to be joined by two friends and allies in our fight to save democracy for everybody and to root out corruption wherever it may be. We have Kedrick Payne, Vice President of the Campaign Legal Center, as well as his counsel, Elizabeth Schimmick, also of the Campaign Legal Center. Elizabeth was describing a couple of reforms to try to target dark money. So while the Supreme Court has said that money is speech, what they did say very clearly is that we, the citizenry, have a right to know who's doing all that speaking with their dollars, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And so transparency laws. Now, my preference would be to ban entities from spending any money. We can't do that.
Be nice.
But at least we can start with the transparency. We also talked about public funding of campaigns. That works really well in some states. It works extremely well in Britain, in the United Kingdom. We talked about limiting the window where money can be spent on advertising related to campaigns. In other words, shortening campaigns. Do I hear you all screaming yes at your radio? What we could all do with a little bit less of that.
Less mailers, yes. Less texts, less calls.
Less door knocking.
Less door knocking.
But one of the things that concerns or should concern all of us when we're talking about the dark money problem that already exists in this country is doubling down on dark money in politics through cryptocurrency. Now, next week, Thursday, our entire show is going to be all about crypto, so mark your calendars, don't miss that. But Kedrick Payne, explain. Congress just had a hearing 2 weeks ago about crypto. We'll get into the direct corruption in a second, but doesn't crypto pose an even nastier, it's sort of doubling down on dark money because it's not transparent?
That's right. Crypto has so many possible problems with it when it comes to government. You have the one level with where the money that goes to these crypto companies is basically being converted into using to gaining political power. So these crypto companies and the executives are spending so much money to elect officials who will support their industry right at the same time when it is being regulated or deregulated by the government. And you see them doing this not only in the executive branch with buying favor with the new administration, but also with Congress. So it's just a situation where you don't know where this money is coming from, but you see how it's being used and used to promote the industry.
Yeah, I mean, they're trying to discuss, is this a security or is it subject to regulation at all? Like, don't forget, they tried to sneak into the big brutal bill, a 10-year moratorium on states regulating crypto. MTG didn't even know about that part before she voted for it. I digress. Kedrick, I want to ask a follow-up question because crypto, I can see it as a force for good in certain circumstances, access to financial markets, those kinds of things. But I am so deeply concerned about the idea that, you know, if a president wanted to issue a meme coin, people could, you know, and maybe a governor does or a mayor or Nick over here when he decides to run for office, heaven please, that someone, a foreign government or a bad actor or a member of ISIS or what, pick your villain, could try to literally buy an elected official literally by buying their meme coin. Am I imagining this?
No, you're not imagining it. And the most shocking thing is that there was a recent poll that showed that a large majority of people in the U.S. don't really even care about the fact that the president is using this meme coin to, it looks like, just gain his own personal wealth. And it may be because people don't even understand what it is. Because first you have to explain what's a meme coin. Then you have to try to explain what's crypto. And we see in the meantime why people in the general public are trying to figure out what it is. The industry itself is very sophisticated and is able to buy this political power, influence in ways that could have consequences for years to come.
Yeah, that is so scary to me. Again, we've got a crypto expert joining us next Thursday. We're then going to talk to a crypto ethics expert for the second half of that program. And I just want to say this. A meme coin is supposed to be a toy, okay? So let's just call it Monopoly money. It's supposed to just be kind of dumb. Just a silly thing, and you buy it because you think it's cool. Okay, so yeah, we're going to call it, like, I don't know, Pokemon Go. Pick your toy, right? But imagine that toy is owned by the president, and we can never know who's paying him for the Pokemon Go or the Monopoly money or how much they're giving him. That's the problem. I mean, we can talk about the emoluments clause all you want, but that doesn't make a hill of beans difference if this meme coin that Trump put out before he was elected, oh, and one for his wife too, and then he sold dinner with him through the meme coin. Well, since when did all of America go, you know what, purchasing access to elected officials is completely fine. That'll root out the corruption right quick. So, Kedrick, we've got just a little bit, about a minute left. I want to ask you this. If there was one thing, and it doesn't have to be about crypto, but if there was one corruption problem that you would suggest voters talk to their elected officials about, what would it be?
It has to be the congressional stock trading problem, because that's something that your official can commit to with you, with the constituents. They can say, with or without the law, I'm not going to trade stock in individual companies. And we see how big the problem is, which is, in the past few weeks, when the tariff announcements made the market so volatile, the amount of trading was enormous, and it needs to stop by members of Congress.
Kedrick, will you come back and join me, Elizabeth, as well, and we will dig into more of this corruption because I really appreciate your expertise that you bring to the program. That was Kedrick Payne of the Campaign League. Kedrick Payne of the Campaign Legal Center and Elizabeth Schimek. You're going to want to stay tuned, folks. Nick stays with me. We've got a panel of experts, including Professor Michael Wagner and Christy McGivalry of Voters Not Politicians, because that's what it's all about. We're reclaiming democracy here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Cooper Lawrence. Presidents Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump will meet in Alaska Friday to talk about ending the war in Ukraine. European leaders have some thoughts. The BBC's Neil Nunez reports.
European allies of Ukraine have urged more pressure on Russia ahead of Friday's summit between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. A joint statement by the EU Commission, Britain, and other countries stressed a commitment to Ukraine's sovereignty. Earlier, President Zelensky ruled out surrendering land to Russia in exchange for peace. He said he had spent Saturday coordinating a response with European allies.
In a statement posted to Telegram, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky dismissed the summit, warning that any peace deal excluding Kyiv would lead to, quote, dead solutions. The UN Security Council has planned a rare Sunday meeting to discuss Israel's recent approved plans to seize control